God bless you tonight. Can you say amen? It's good to have you. Everyone stand in honor to God's word. I appreciate the songs tonight, always, in the congregation and the special songs. We're going to go back to the place that we had a sermon not too long ago. I think maybe a week or two ago. I don't remember exactly, but Book of Philippians. If you'd like to turn there, we'd like for you to turn with us. We're going to talk about something personal to you tonight, personal to Paul, that he wrote about. And we want to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. A lot of times we need to take inventory of our lives. If we're not careful, things will come in our life that pull us away from God, that make us cold, indifferent, hard. We got to be careful. We got a lot of bad circumstances that hit us constantly. They bombard us. And they did Paul. And we have to stay near to him, to stay close and warm in the things of God. And tonight, I want you to look at yourself and allow God to move you. But verse 12 in chapter 3 of Philippians, we read this the other day, I think just a week or two ago, but not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, verse 15, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereof we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that you'd help each of us, Father, to be red hot for you. That God, our lives could be evidence of what our faith is. And Lord, people could see us no matter who we are, no matter what hits us, no matter what we're doing. They could see us as a child of God. And God, we pray that you'd give us a consuming desire to know you, to live for you, to be a light for you. May, dear God, we have broad shoulders. May, Lord Jesus, nothing offend us, nothing push us back as a child of God. You told us that if we go into your word and stay in your word, that nothing shall offend us. So help us to stay in your word. Help us, Father, to be conformed to your image. And we'll give you praise and give you honor. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. Paul said in one place, as you're seated, that I, as a child of God, may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now the word conformable there simply means that I become like him. That I become like him. And as a child of God, God is wanting us to be conformed to the image of his son. The Bible said that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of that son. As we grow in faith, as we grow in the things of God, God said you're going to be more and more like me. You're going to act more and more like me. Because you're being conformed to me, you're learning of me, and I'm changing your life. That is what Paul had a desire for here in the words that we just read. And Paul is talking about discipleship. He's talking about a disciple of Christ. Over and over in Scripture, God commands us to be a disciple. He commands us to follow after Christ, to learn of him, to know him, to become like him as God would have it. Now, how was Christ conformed to the image of God through his death, as Paul said? Well, the Bible said that he took not his own will, but he obeyed the will of the Father. He died to himself. He became conformable to the will of God in his life. You and I become disciples. You and I allow the same thing to happen to us when we allow the will of God to come alive in our hearts to be what God wanted us to be. How do we do that as a child of God? Well, Paul gives us some reasons here. He tells us how to do it. Notice what he said. He talked about apprehending. Paul is acknowledging that he is apprehended firstly by Christ Jesus. It isn't you that come to God. Firstly, it is God that comes to you. Can you say amen? God is saying, listen, I want to conform you to my image. I want you to be righteous as I am. I want you to look like me in this world. And God said, listen, for me to do that or for you to do that, I've got to do something for you because you can't do it in yourselves. Now, what God is saying to Paul and Paul is saying to us is that God called Paul. He confirmed the work of God here in these verses. And God understood that he had an obligation, Paul did, an obligation on himself to do what God would have him to do. You and I have the same thing. I have had to die to self. When I was saved, God came into my life and he changed me. He saved me. He gave me something that was real. And I have to die to self every day. And you do too as a child of God. And Paul is saying, listen, in verse 12, I want you to look at it. All Christianity, everything about it begins with God's call. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, listen to this, I underlined it in my Bible, for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, he apprehended me. He got hold of me before I got hold of him. Paul is saying, that is what it takes. Nothing spiritual can take place in our lives until we come alive in Jesus Christ. We come alive in Jesus Christ because God wakes in us, awakes the Spirit within us to the Spirit of God above us. And though we were dead in trespasses and sins, though that we were separated from God, when he awakens that Spirit within us, that third part of us, that spiritual part of us, God says, listen, I awaken it, you come to me, you seek my forgiveness, I give it to you, and now I'm in you. And God said, I have awoken in you a spiritual awareness of who God is. It is up to you and I to go farther from that. But God does the first thing. God saves us. He calls us. And he saves us. That is what God is saying here. Listen, for our lives to have purpose, we have to, number one, hear the call of God and to be accepted in the call of God. In other words, we hear it and then we do it. I used to hear my mom, she would say, Rudy, do this. Well, if I didn't do it the first time that she said it, she didn't have to say it again. Dad would say, Rudy, do it. And I would do it. God is awakening a desire in our hearts. He is saying, I want you to do this. And we have a desire to do that because God said it. Now, the call of God, the anointing of God, the blessing of God has to be, firstly, a call of God. Paul said that God called me. God awakened me. And then when he awakened me, something came alive in me spiritually. Something came alive in me and gave me the ability to live for him. That is what, in verse 12, the word apprehended means. It's got to happen first. Listen to what John says. John 15, 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. God speaking, Jesus speaking, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Now those examples are given throughout the Bible. We read of Noah, how that Noah took hold of the call of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, built an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. God is saying here, God is saying, understand what Noah did. Noah didn't choose just to build the ark. God said, I revealed myself to him. I called him to do that, and he did it. And the Bible says that he was apprehended. He was called of God. Abraham was the same way. In Hebrews 11, 7, by faith Abraham being warned of God, that was Noah. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. The Bible tells you and I as a child of God that we need to understand that God first calls us. That he calls us to do the work. Everybody in this building that's saved, God has called you to do a work. He has equipped you if he called you to do that work. And we must find the work, hear the call, number one, be saved. But we didn't find the work and do it for God. Too often we come to church and we think that's our work. It's not. You come here to worship. You go out to serve. You go out to work. You go out to win souls. Now, we do works in here. We do singing and we do praise and all of that. Those are righteous acts. But they're there because God has done something for us. Something for us. When somebody does something for me, it makes me want to do something for them. We were at a restaurant the other day and over here, and we was eating, and somebody, I didn't even see them, and somebody paid our bill. I don't know who paid it. If you did, I want you to tell me. Why? Because I want to buy you a meal. I mean, that's just the way we do it. Because of the great things that God has done for me, I want to do great things for Him. I want to do the best I can in what God has called me to do. Paul said, firstly, we need to acknowledge that we've been apprehended for Jesus Christ. Moses was apprehended by God. He was apprehended by God when he was in the little ark that was on the Nile. God said to his family, he said, listen, I have called Moses out. He's going to deliver his people. He's going to deliver them from the Egyptians. He did the same thing to Jeremiah in his mother's womb. He called him to be a prophet. He called him to do those things. The Bible said before the foundation of the earth, you and I were already gifted, already called, already matured in Christ. He could see that through his foreknowledge. God has called us. David, apprehended by God. We could go on and on and on. Remember David's call. He was on the backside of the fields of his dad. He was keeping the sheep. And they called the elder brothers, Abinadab, Shammah, I should say, and the others, all of them. And listen, the prophet said, is there another? Because God said, no. Is there another? Yes, little David over there, bring him here. And they brought David there. And the Bible says that God anointed David and called him to be king of Israel. Listen, God came to him. Remember Paul, the apostle. Paul, the apostle, was on the road to Damascus to kill some more Christians, to create havoc in the church. And God stopped him. Jesus appeared to him, called him. God firstly calls you. And if you're a child of God, God has called you to do a work. Now, we don't do the work because people like it and people say, man, that's beautiful, or that's a great sermon, or boy, you can sing. We don't do it for that. We do it for His glory because He has done it for us. Thank God for that, that God has done those things and Jesus does that. We could go on and on. He called the disciples. He went to them before they ever came to Him. And God has came to you. He has called you specially and specifically, uniquely to come to Him and accept Him. And Paul understood that. And when we look inside, we need to understand that we didn't just choose to follow Christ. He chose us. He chose me. He dealt with me as a little 7-year-old and then an 8-year-old. And I gave my heart to Jesus when I just turned 8. And God saved me. He came to me, though. I remember that conviction. I remember being afraid to go to hell, understanding that Jesus had died for my sins. And my goodness, and God came to me and saved me. And I've never got over that. I love it. Praise the Lord. That was 50 years ago. I've been pastoring for 38 of those. And God has just revealed Himself time and time and time again. And I love Him tonight, and I praise Him for what He has done. Paul not only acknowledged he was apprehended by Christ Jesus firstly, but Paul also attested to the fact that he had a purpose in calling him. Notice what he says here, the first part in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend. The last part says that God, Paul was apprehended by Christ. He was approached by Christ. He was called by Christ. But in the first part of this verse, he is saying, listen, I've been following Him. I'm not perfect. I fail at times, and so do we. But he said, I've been apprehended for Christ. And Paul, I think you'll see his life. He's always stepping out into something new, always stepping out more and more into the things of God. He's never satisfied. He's never complete and satisfied to stay in his comfort zone. I think that's the way every child of God ought to be. If you've been in where you're at for a long time, it's not God's fault, it's yours. Step out and do something for God. Step out and allow God to use you in a greater way. People say, well, I want to be used of the Lord. Do you? Then bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're at right now. Start where you are and then build upon that and ask God to do something great with it, and He'll do it. Paul said, listen, I acknowledged I was apprehended by Christ, but I attest to the fact that, listen, He had a purpose in calling me, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend. That's what the verses are saying. You don't have to turn with me, but if you'd like to turn, you can go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to turn there, and I want us to look at that. The answer there is spelled out for us. But in Romans 8, 28 and 29, 30, we know 8:28. We quote it all the time. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are thee called according to his purpose. But then he says, for whom he did foreknow, God foreknew you. He called you. He knew who you was. He called Jeremiah out of the womb. Listen, he called Paul on the road to Damascus. He called Moses when he was in the little ark as a little baby. When did he call you? The Bible said before the foundation of the world, before you were born, before this was created, God already knew you. He already knew you. Paul said, I know that. I attest to the fact that although when he knew me, he understood me, and he gifted me, he blessed me, and I've got purpose. Can you say with me, I have purpose? You got purpose. I don't care how old you are. You got purpose. Use it for God and allow God to do it. He goes on, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says that what we do is going to prosper because God said that it would prosper. I like that. What is God's purpose in saving us? Well, he wants to take us to heaven. But his purpose in calling us is that he wants to fulfill the work in our lives here. Here. Now listen. Put it in your life. I don't care where you are. You may be at the very last of your life. That's relative, you know, according to how long you'll live. My middle brother died when he was 54 years old. My goodness, my dad was 61. My other brother was younger. My goodness, they were old when they were young, because the date of death was near to them. We had a little grandson, as you know, 18 months old, passed away. That they were old, he was old at 17 months. He didn't live but another month. So it's relative to what you are. Some of us may be soon going on. We may not be long for this earth. God may come back and get us all, and they won't worry about it. But until he does, let's acknowledge the call of God on our lives. Let's allow God to use us in a mighty way to accomplish his will, that we have purpose and that we'll go with that purpose, that we'll be like Christ, even in the midst of life's sufferings, that we conform to his image, that we conform to the things of God. Paul is saying here, then thirdly, lastly, and I might stay here for a while, hour or two, but, I got your attention. I'm glad. Thank you. Say amen. No, I'm kidding. But listen. Not only does he attest to that purpose, but he also accounts that this, listen, has put an obligation on him. Because of all that God did, that God came to him when he was at his worst. Because God touched him and gave him purpose for his life. Paul said, this has laid upon me an obligation. That's what I was talking about earlier. I love when people buy it. Free food's always better food. You know, it just is. Praise God. But you always want to help somebody else along the way, too. You want to give back. My dad, he taught me, and he was really strict about it. He said, listen, Rudy, he said, it's wonderful when people buy your meal or do something for you. But he said, you always do something back and help them. And that is what we do. That's what we're taught as people that grow up in Tennessee, that you make your own way, and when somebody helps you, you're there to help them. You're there to back them. And that's true with Christianity. And Paul said, listen, because of all that God has done for me, I want to follow after him. I want to do all I can for him. Notice verse 12 again. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Listen to this. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying this is a personal thing now. God has done something for me. God has blessed me. He saved me. He died that I might be free from my sin. He gave me His righteousness. He gave me purpose for life. A lot of us feel that our purpose is to work a job somewhere or No. That may be part of your purpose, a small part. But God has put you there for His glory. He's put you in that group for your glory. He's put you where you are in that family for His glory. We're obligated. It's personal to us. Do you remember Peter? Peter met the Lord after the Lord was resurrected. And the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said over and over, you know I do, Lord. But Peter kept looking to John when he was saying that. Peter, do you love me? Well, looking at John, Peter said, well, sure, you know I do, Lord. I love you. And then after Jesus asked that three times and knew that Peter's heart was not in it, Peter looked at him and he said, Lord, but what about John? But that would make me mad. Have you ever had two kids that you disciplined one time? You're talking to one of them, and it's their fault, big time. You're talking to them, and they say, well, what about John? It's like me and my nephew cut down my uncle's. Now, don't ask me why, just stupidity. But we was up at my uncle's front porch, and he had cedar posts. They had them, they sticking out, you know, the limbs. You've seen that. They had pretty posts for a while. There was an axe laying there, and that was a temptation bed to two 10-year-olds. And I looked at my nephew, who was the same age as me, and I said, Keith, I said, I dare you to chop that pole one time. Well, he did. He did. Well, he dared me, double dared me, and I struck it twice. I was better than him. Then all of a sudden, we just seen how many times we could hit it. And one post went, and then another post went. How stupid can kids get? Now, I'm not that way now, I'll assure you. I'm a little bit smarter than that. I wouldn't do that no more. And there was one middle post, and boy, we looked at each other and said, it's got to come down. And buddy, we started hitting that thing, and it fell, and the whole porch fell. It could have killed us. And that's what I said after Daddy talked to me. No, I looked at Keith, he looked at me. We didn't want to do anything else. I ran to our house, he ran to his house, which was right next door to Uncle Woodrow, And then all of a sudden, we got a call. Uncle Woodrow, we'd already killed half of his chickens by BB guns. So he called. He knew who had done it. And my dad, I never will forget that voice. He said, Rudy, get in here right now. And I went in there and he said, you didn't cut down Woodrow's post on his front porch. I said, no. I said, Keith did, Daddy. Hey, don't feel bad at me. Keith said the same thing about me. It didn't help either one of us. Now, I got a whooping that day. I got a whooping that day. We had to clean out Uncle Woodrow's horse barns for a long time to pay for that. I paid for it. I've often thought, how in the world could anybody be that stupid? But we were. And you've done some stupid things too, I'm sure. But listen, Paul is saying the same thing. That's what Peter said. God was looking at Peter and saying, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, well, Lord, you know I do. What about John? What's he going to do? You know what the Lord told him? He said, you forget about John. He said, I'm talking to you. And see, a lot of times we look at other people and we think we apply ourselves to their life. Well, I'm just as good as they are. That's not who you look at. You look at Jesus. Are you as good as him? No. Can you do more? Yes. Do you want to do more? And the answer, of course, is yes. But it's a personal calling. Peter, you must follow me. What? It doesn't matter about John. And you and I must do our work for God. We don't do it because people say, well, what a good job you do. That's ridiculous. That's childish. We do it because he's called us to do it. That's our work. That's what we can do for him. As a child of God, if nobody ever appreciates anything, do it for him. Do the lily works. Do it because it's God's eyes that you're doing it for. Because God has called you, he's blessed you, he's given you. How do we do that? Number one, we're to consecrate ourselves. Paul said here, this one thing I do. See, the Christian life is to be a priority. We are to focus on this. This is the big picture. And we're to focus on this priority. So we're to set this as a priority in our lives. We're to concentrate on doing what God would have us to do. And I brag on him a lot of places. I don't normally brag on him here because I don't want him to get the big head, but I appreciate Brother Gary. I really do, Brother Gary. He was here when you all were gone, and he was cleaning up that bathroom. He was in bad shape. Had water everywhere. He was cleaning it up. I come by. He was already done. I said, "Hey, do you need any help?" I felt bad because he said, "I've already done it." I said, "Well, if I'd have just knew." We ought to search how we can be a blessing to God. What's your gifting? What's God calling you to do? Then do it with all your heart. Be consistent in it. Concentrate on it. But also, number two, we're to abdicate ourselves. In other words, we're to abandon ourselves. We're to step out of what we want and do what God wants us to. Not because somebody agrees with it, not because somebody's for it, not because somebody is blessed by it, but because he wants us to do it. That's how that we give back to him. That's how we glory in him. And I thank God for that, and I thank God that we can. But number three, we're to navigate rightly. We're to do it in God's will, God's way, not our own way. You and I need to find the course that God has for us. Paul said, "I finished my faith. I've kept the faith, but I've also finished my course, the course that God laid out for me." See, my will in God's eyes is not yours. You don't have to do what I do, but I don't have to do what you do. See, I don't have, you've got gifts I don't have. Every one of you got things that I don't have, and I wish to have them, but I don't. But I've got mine, and I've got to focus on mine, and you have to forgive me where I don't have gifts in that area, just as I have to forgive you. You know, I don't look at Miss Roberta and say to Miss Roberta, I'm kind of upset with you. Now, I'm not, but I'm kind of upset with you because you're not preaching the gospel like I'm preaching the gospel. Your husband preached the gospel. Where are you at, sister? We'll do that to other people. But she sings, and didn't she do a wonderful job tonight? And I was thinking, I seen that as a child, and I think tonight she's done as good or better than any time I ever heard her. It's just like God said amen to it. That is what God has called us to do. Be yourself. Be what God has called you, and then do it to the best of your ability for his glory. And then Paul talks about this future thing in the way that he words it. He talks about this high calling. He said, "This one thing I do," speaking of spiritual things or of future things. He said, I do this, and speaks of what he's going to do in the future over and over. And he talks about it. And he's saying, "I have a high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And you and I have a high calling. Is there anything better than obeying the will of God? Is there anything better than just doing what God has told us to do? I love it. I do. I love the journey. I love the place that God has put me. You know, and I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. I realize my time, I've lived more than I'm going to live. I know that. I'm not going to live that long. And I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. Not going to be burdened by it. Not going to let anybody steal my joy. Because my joy is not dependent on you. What you say, what you do, it's dependent on him. And it's dependent literally on me, because not only have I accepted my calling, but I'm going to fulfill that calling the best I know how. And the Bible says that we are to do that. We've got a high calling. We've got a holy calling. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians, "Wherefore, come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." And he said, "I will receive you." We've got a holy calling to do the holiness of God. Can we, I think we take for granted this. Singing for the Lord, playing for the Lord, testifying to the Lord, preaching for the Lord. I think we take it for granted. But if it was taken away, how much we would appreciate getting to do it. If the Word of God was taken away, as it has been down through the years for many, many people, and we would be like the prisoner in the Nazi regime, we would share a verse here and a verse there. "I remember a verse," and they would write it on the wall, or they would whisper it to one another, and they would learn the verse. It was precious to them. We have a high calling, a holy calling, but we also have a heavenly calling. We looked at that this morning, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," and we won't go there again, but we need to understand the calling that God has for us. Do not take for granted. I love this. I think I've read this here before, but it's been a long time. And it's called The Station. It's about a guy on the journey. He said, tucked away in our subconscious minds, this is an idyllic vision in which we see ourselves on a long journey that spans an entire continent. We're traveling by train, and from the windows, we drink in the passing scenes of cars on nearby highways, children waving at crossings, of cattle grazing in distant pastures, of smoke pouring from plants, of row after row of cotton and corn and wheat and flatlands and valleys and city skylines and town halls. But uppermost in our minds is our final destination. For a certain hour and on a given day, our train will finally pull into the station with bells ringing, flags waving, and bands playing. Once that day comes, so many wonderful dreams will come true. So restlessly, we pace the aisles, count the miles, peering ahead, waiting, waiting, waiting for the station. Now apply that to your Christian life. Isn't that so true? We sing about it. We preach about it. We talk about it. We pray about it. We think about it. We dream about it. One day we're going to realize it. Jim Whitworth has. Many in your family and mine have. One day I will. When we get there, all of this will mean absolutely nothing. All of the trouble, all the heartache, all of the stuff will mean nothing. What's done for Christ will stand. That's all that will stand. That's what we got to realize. The Bible said, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And I'm going to. I'm determined to. And I want to tell you something tonight. You need to laugh more on this journey. Ethan, you need to spend more time with that little girl and that wife of yours. Terry, you need to spend more time fishing and enjoying the things of God with that girl of yours. Get rid of the boy. We need to laugh often. We need to enjoy what God has given us. And see, as children of God, we get so burdened over stuff that in a year, in a day, in a year, in eternity, it won't matter. Don't sweat the small stuff, somebody told me. Don't worry about what you have or don't have. You got it all in glory. You're going to have it all. It's going to far exceed anything that you and I together could ever come up with. So enjoy your life. Take an inventory. What's in your life tonight that in eternity, it doesn't matter? What's causing you problems? What's causing you heartache, worrying about it? Listen, if you're God's child, it's going to be taken care of. Can you say amen? So enjoy this time. Life, all the time. I mean, I enjoy. Sure, things hurt me. Oh, my goodness. I got a little girl down the stairs tonight, sick. I don't like that. Don't like that. My goodness. But even if something happens, I'll see her again. Even if the worst comes, she's a winner. Either way, she didn't know the Lord. I've talked to her. She's not old enough. But God's going to take her. She's a heavenly child. My goodness. Don't worry about what you can't control. Give it to the Lord. His heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I read recently about a gentleman. His name was William Borden, and he was from a very, very rich family, and he chose to be saved, chose to give his heart to the Lord, and he wanted to go on the mission field in China, a hard, hard place, hard language to learn, a lot of customs that he had to learn. He spent 6 years getting ready to go. People said, "You're crazy. You can have everything. You have everything." He said, "I want to do the will of God in my life." He finally finished schooling and he finished learning the languages and all of that, and he received papers to go to China. And as a young man, he said goodbye to his family. He got on the train to go to the airport to fly to China. And there on the train, he contracted a disease that was very, very bad in that day. And in a week's time, he died. A lot of people looked at him and said, "What a waste." But they found something written that he wrote while he was sick. And it says this. He wrote it as he lay dying. "No reserve, no retreat, and no regrets. I have found a treasure that is beyond words. Brother and sister, if you and I are saved, we have too. Don't let nothing come between you and that and God. Father, we pray that you would touch every heart that is here. We live in a very uncertain time. We live in a time, Lord, it seems like on every hand we hear bad stuff. And Father, it's out of our control. We can't do anything about it. The outward stuff is out of our control, but how I am inward is in my control. They can take my life even, but they can't take my Lord. And dear God, I pray that you would touch every soul that is here, that we're not burdened and bothered by the little stuff, the small stuff. It doesn't matter. Help us to do all we can for Christ. That's what will matter for eternity. Help us to find out who we are in Him and what He wants us to do. And then let us do it, God, as Paul did. Here, he had not yet arrived. Here, he was still struggling with things. But God, we read of where he kept the faith, finished his course, and there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness. But not for him only, but for all of us. So dear God, whatever you've called us to do, whatever we find out in our life now, may we give it to you to your glory. As the brother said tonight, as we travel, and as we meet new people, Lord, let us tell them about Jesus. You can use us anywhere. And we pray tonight that you do use us. Lord, help us to pray more, cry less. Help us, dear God, to look to the heavens more and not down at our feet in dejection and discouragement. And we'll give you praise. We love you. We look forward to going home. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Personal inventory. I have too often.